Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Paul Tonko, you have now received a prestigious waiver to serve on Science, Space, and Technology Committee in addition to Energy. Is that because you're not supposed to be on more than two major committees?
Well, the Energy and Commerce Committee, that is my prime appointment, is dubbed exclusive. It covers a broad base of issues. It has a number of bills that come before the House, appearing before the Energy and Commerce Committee. So because of its exclusive nature, they ask that you not serve. The rule of thumb is that you not serve on any other committees. There, however, was a vacancy on Science, Space, and Technology. I put in for a waiver of the House rules and was granted the opportunity to now fill that vacancy, which I think is important because science, space, and tech is a good complement to the work done on energy and commerce.
Well, I hate committee meetings. Isn't there something rather obnoxious about having to sit through endless committee meetings?
Well, it's more work and it's more, you know, structured time out of your day because there are a number of hearings. Interestingly, the subcommittee, when we reorganized or when we organized for the Science and Tech Committee, I had asked that I be placed on the subcommittee of Research and Technology, which fits hand in glove for this 20th congressional district. And for some reason, people were bouncing around to new assignments, and I was granted that opportunity. So while it's a lot of work, and while I hear you, hearings can get pretty tedious, it's good to know that we'll be at that table establishing the tone for research investment, for technology.
Because you got all of these colleges.
Exactly, with nanoscience, nanotechnology, yeah. With sure. Chip manufacturing, all of those activities going on. And even the work done in battery manufacturing and advanced battery manufacturing, which is the linchpin to a lot of the energy innovation that can then help us bolster a green energy.
So who's doing battery manufacturing around here, Paul?
Who's doing well in manufacturing? A lot of the incubator startups that are small, growing as we go, but innovative in the process that may come up with a little element of that entire magnitude of design. And all of that is important because they're providing for efficiency, not only in energy for energy's sake, but oftentimes water efficiency. So there are a number of startups, incubators at RPI, at Union, at the private sector think tanks that can start as a small cluster of workers and then grow that potential. They make great community citizens, business citizens, because they start here, they're tethered in the local community, and then provide more stability for the workforce.
So how do you avoid, I don't know how, you know me, I always try to take the cautious route, mm-hmm. But how do you avoid being treated as a errand boy by, you know, some of the presidents of these universities, all who want what they want,
right,
when they want it? And you're a congressman, you know, most of us think of congressmen as very important people, but what if they try to push you around too much? You ever push back?
You know, I think we need to develop a common agenda. We need to make certain that we're investing wisely in those elements that produce the greatest bang for the buck. So, you know, I'll have that discourse with them, and where we agree, fine. If we don't, you know, I think mostly in this area, you've got people who are understanding the merit that came with a strong public-private partnership in the investments in nanotechnology, the investments in chip manufacturing, advanced battery technology. So they understand the benefits of public-private partnerships, and it's where I differ from a lot of my colleagues who say that government's the problem, it ought to get out of the picture and let capitalism roll. So actually, some of my university presidents and private sector types of this region know the real world better than these colleagues who are telling us, you know, laissez-faire, pull government out, government's the problem, it's too big, when in fact we're competing with entities from China, Japan, Korea that have sound public-private partnerships where we need to engage, I think, in research development, in innovation, in innovation in a way that will address the energy clean energy jobs of the future.
So let's stay with that for a moment. We do know that a good deal of what some major companies accomplish is because of the basic research that is done with government dollars.
Right.
And we certainly know that that exists in China and, you know, other places.
Absolutely.
But then doesn't it irk you ever to see some big pharma company making a fortune off a drug where the basic research has been done by the United States government?
Yeah, it is somewhat irking. And again, you have to be, I think we have to make certain that when we invest in that research area, that there's a lot of transparency and accountability in what's being done. And to push that private partnership in the public-private togetherness, making certain that they're putting their share into the whole context of that research, because if it's just slid over, if it's asked to be fungible to the way that it's mostly public dollars going for that research, then they're going to use that in a way that perhaps isn't as advantageous to the consumer or the constituent out there.
Now let's go back to the very beginning of this little conversation.
Sure.
We've had. You had to ask for a waiver. Who gives you the waiver? The Democrats in charge of your conference or the Republicans?
Democrats gave me the waiver for filling that vacancy.
And you had to go and make your case, right?
I made a case to the steering committee that does the assignments in the House. And, you know, I was grateful that I had served on the committee in the past.
I see.
And
so it gave you a little extra clout.
And I think it did. And it also, I had a two-term track record. And I also was ranker, the top Democrat. When the Republicans controlled the House, I was the ranker on a subcommittee that reported to Science and Tech. So we're able to get that short bit of history with the committee, and that I think helped also, plus the engineering background the nature of the district that I represent.
Remind us about your engineering background.
Well, mechanical and industrial engineering background that I think is very helpful, and one that I had also developed expertise within the regulatory arena at the Public Service Commission. So all of that reform, that transformation that's required in the regulatory aspects and the work that's done in energy-related policy with the engineering background all helps you land that kind of a waiver and that assignment.
So I only have one question, and I only have a minute. I don't want to get my producer mad at me here. But my question is this. In your getting this favor, do you think you ticked off any of your colleagues who wanted the same thing, who wanted that committee assignment?
There's disappointments all the time, but, you know, I try to interact with these folks and keep the dialogue going because, you know, there's always ups and downs for all of us, and you just don't gloat about this. You just tell people you'll work with them to carry their agenda, too.
Are you sure you're not gloating?
I'm not sure.
Paul Tanco, we love having you here. You are so much fun.
Thank you so much for being
with us.
Thank you.
We come back the next time. Let's talk about Netanyahu.
Okay.